Time now for NHL Hour with Bill Clement and Commissioner Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
The NHL Hour is coming up in a few minutes with Bill Clement and me, Gary Bettman. I'll take your calls, answer your emails, and we'll also talk to the new chairman of the board of the Chicago Blackhawks, Rocky Wirtz. It's all coming up live in a few minutes on NHL Home Ice, XM 204 and NHL.com.
You're listening to NHL Hour with your commissioner, Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
All right, here we go, and welcome to the NHL Hour. We are live from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok. We're on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, and NHL.com. We'd love you to be part of our show. Here's the phone number, 877-NHL on XM. That's 877-645-6696. Our email address, NHLHour at NHL.com. I'm Bill Clement. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, is alongside. He will take your calls and read your emails shortly. Kind of a quiet week, Gary. No big fires to put out.
Oh, no week is a quiet week. It's just not everything we do gets publicity. But if you look outside, look at the windows on 6th Avenue, it's a nor'easter coming in. It's hockey weather, so winter is here, and it's our time of year.
Well, a nor'easter certainly blew through the baseball world today. The Mitchell Report was released, and it named names, steroid use in Major League Baseball. You had a chance to take a look at that yet, Gary?
Well, actually, I think the report's somewhere between 300 and 400 pages, and I haven't had a chance, obviously, to read it or digest it. I did watch a little of Senator Mitchell's press conference, and what's clear to me is and it's no surprise to anybody, there was steroid use in baseball. And apparently Senator Mitchell was a little critical of the efforts on all sides to address it. And if there's one lesson, I suppose, in all of this, is it's important when a sport has issues that the league and the Players Association come to address these issues, mm-hmm. get on a common page, and work to a solution, because ultimately we all owe it to the fans to do the right things.
Is it not incumbent on a professional sports league to self-scrutinize to the point where the issue is avoided?
Well, I think that's what I just said, Bill. But
well, I mean, there's preventive, and then there's discovering the issue after the fact.
Well, I don't think discovering the issue in this particular case came as a shock to anybody. It's something that people have suspected for a number of years, and I'm not making a judgment in that regard. If you just follow the media reports since the late 90s, this is something that's been talked about. In our case, You know, we've had for a long period of time a program of education and counseling with respect to all kind of drug usage. The counselors that deal with our players on a regular basis, the team doctors, nobody believes that this has ever been an issue for our league. But in the last round of collective bargaining with the union, we got together to come up with a comprehensive program to test for performance-enhancing drugs. And the players, the teams are tested at random. And we've even had a player, unfortunately, who tested positive. But that just shows the program's working.
I'm just going to go back and read the transcript of what you just said to make sure that I don't ask you anything that was very similar to what I just asked you. I know there's a word that you hate too. I'm going to switch gears and talk exclusively about hockey. To me, it's just party with an I in it. But we'll refer to it as competitive balance. And it really is unprecedented. What party with an I in it would be in the right spot. Never mind, it's competitive balance.
What are you talking about?
This is my rant. This is my before the callers start calling in, this is my rant.
If you're talking about parity and competitive balance, it's unbelievable. Do you know that 14 teams in the East are within 9 points of each other, and in the West, 14 teams are within 11 points of each other? Every game matters, every game counts, and I hope I simplified what you were trying to describe because I had no idea what you were talking about.
That's okay, as long as you can connect the dots, fill in the blanks. Is there anything negative with this kind of competitive balance for the sake of the health of the league? Anything at all negative?
I don't see how it is because I think for a sports league to give its fans, no matter what team they root for, the hope, the expectation, the dream that their team has a shot at making the playoffs and then vying for the cup, I think that's all good. The other thing that I think is important is that every game matters. A game in December is going to be as important as a game in March and April in determining what teams make the playoffs because we're going to have teams that miss the playoffs by virtue of a tie or a loss in some game they wish they had back.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's a roller coaster for almost every fan in every city, and a lot of teams are prone to ups and downs for a good reason because of the competitive balance. How about some calls? Want to go to the callers?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's take Sean from Salt Lake City. Sean, how are you? You're on the NHL Hour on XM 204 and NHL.com.
Thanks, Gary. I got a question about, I should say, Mr. Commissioner.
No, Gary, Gary works better.
Okay. Well, Gary, my question is about the NHL Network. I wanted to know, do you kind of envision that the NHL platform today or the network's platform today is more for the diehards, or do you see maybe kind of changing gears and adopting new programming content that would be more friendly for those new NHL fans out there who want to get more, in love with the game and in touch with the game? And then also, is there any possibility of carrying the World Juniors Tournament this winter? And I'll drop off and take your comments off the line.
Well, thanks for calling. Both good questions. I'll take the second one first. We're exploring the possibility of picking up the World Juniors and carrying them on the NHL Network, although I probably shouldn't have said that because the price just went up in terms of our negotiations with the IIHF. But having said that, we're interested in carrying as much hockey programming as possible, which goes to the first question. We think the NHL Network's for everybody. There are player profiles. There are elements on aspects of the game you probably never envisioned. There are historical profiles. There are old games. And on the fly at night is an incredible, incredible show to stay on top of everything that's going on in the league. It's the best package of highlights for our game night in and night out that you can get anywhere. And so watch it at night. Watch it first thing in the morning because the final version that they do, I think at 1 or 2 in the morning, we replay in the morning. You want to stay on top of everything that's going on in the NHL, whether or not you're the most avid fan we have or you're somebody who's just got a fleeting interest and you want to learn more. Go to the NHL Network, and we're now available. I mean, you have to sign up for it with some cable and satellite providers, but we're now available in somewhere around 78 to 80 million homes.
Oh, the NHL on the fly, it's a religion for anybody that broadcasts the sport. I mean, you get your finger on the pulse of virtually everything within 30 minutes. It's fantastic.
And also, the highlights are different than you may get to see on your local news or on some other sports networks because you get an in-depth analysis of every game. It is just terrific. Justin from New Jersey, line number 2, you're on with us on the NHL Hour, XM 204.
Hey, Gary. Hey, I'm a Flyers fan, and I have to admit, when you first brought up the salary cap to the NHL, I was a little bit concerned about it. And I'll tell you why. Here's two things. In the last 2 years now, we've seen a 15-year deal signed, and then today it looks like a 12-year deal for Mike Richards. Now, I was afraid that the NHL cap might become a joke, sort of like the NBA cap, where teams are buried for 10 years, like the New York Knicks. Are these long-term deals, are you concerned about that at all?
That's a great question. There have been a lot of good things, including the competitive balance that we've seen in the league that resulted from the salary cap. And look at how quickly the Flyers remade themselves from last year, from having, if not the worst, one of the worst records in the league last year.
Dead last.
Yep. That's right. And look at how well they're doing now. I personally, and I'm not in the trenches at the club signing players, I personally prefer shorter-term contracts. I think it gives you more options. But if Philadelphia has made the decisions that Richards is the future in terms of holding this team together, if he's going to be the anchor at 22 years old for the next 12 years, if that's how long the contract is, if they're right, then this was a great move, and they've solidified the core of this team for the next decade. If you're wrong, it gets a little tough, which is why, in the scheme of things, when you sign a long-term contract, somebody is likely to have guessed wrong. Either the player will feel he's undervalued at some point, or the team will feel he was overvalued at some point. I suppose in some cases they'll get it just right and it'll work well. And if in fact the Flyers and Richards are happy together and he has the type of career everybody envisions, this may be just what the doctor ordered for the Flyers for the next decade.
I really think that Paul Holmgren, the Flyers GM, knows that this may be as close as he will ever come to signing a Bobby Clarke, because Mike Richards has all the Bobby Clarke player qualities and they've invested in character. So it will be interesting to see where we are in 7 years from now.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we're at least here.
Is that us or him?
All of us.
Next caller, Steve from Ontario. What can we do for you? You're on XM.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Just, not bad. Just inquiring why you're putting such a snub on giving Canada another NHL franchise.
Actually, I'm not, and we can talk about that.
And why wouldn't they be able to take one to Hamilton with Mr. Balselli or whatever his name is?
It's a good question. I'm glad you asked it, because a lot has been speculated about on this whole issue. And quite frankly, we have never said that any particular place is in or out for a franchise. All we've said is we try to make our franchises work where they are. And if, in fact, we have to move a franchise, relocate a franchise, we do it as a last resort. We think we owe it to our fans everywhere not to be so frivolous with moving franchises around. And so Nashville worked out because local ownership stepped up. We never told Mr. Bosilli not to buy the Nashville Predators. We never told him where he could or couldn't move it. We have procedures about those things. And to the extent that there have been suggestions to the contrary that I either killed the deal or ruled that a team couldn't go at a certain place, that those have been absolute fabrications. If we have to relocate or if we decide to expand, we will consider all of the alternatives. Nothing has been ruled out.
No border, then, for alternatives when you're looking for one.
No, we'll consider all the options. But the fact of the matter is we haven't been in a position where we were in the consideration of moving a franchise, and we're not now looking at a formal expansion process. So for anybody to suggest that, you know, I also find it a little ironic, and you should talk to the people at our Canadian clubs who ran them for the last decades. I was the biggest proponent of the Canadian Assistance Program. The new collective bargaining agreement has done more than anything to make sure that our franchises in Canada not only are stable, but are competitive and healthy and vibrant. I know that our game has to be strong in Canada, or we can't be strong anywhere. And anybody who thinks I don't get that doesn't get me.
It's easy to blame the commish, though, isn't it?
Well, no, that sounds too much like a martyr.
I'm not saying that. But when anything goes wrong around the National Hockey League for any fan in any city, the easiest direction to point to is your office, is it not?
Well, you know, if anything goes wrong, I suppose on some level I'm ultimately responsible. But the question becomes, when it's suggested that things have gone wrong that haven't gone wrong. So for somebody to suggest that we barred Mr. Basile from buying a franchise or moving it, that's just not right. That's not what happened. You know, in the final analysis, he decided to walk away because he didn't want to deal with the league's procedures and the various things that the owners in this league expect from a new owner coming in. That's it on that subject.
Perfect.
Jim in Pittsburgh, how are your Penguins doing?
Great, and happy holidays to you, Bill, and to you, Gary.
Hey, happy holidays to you. You coming to Buffalo on New Year's Day?
That is my main question. Yeah. First of all,
do we have tickets? Is that what you want to know?
Well, that's one of the things I'm going to talk to you about. First of all, Gary, real quick, thank you for help, whatever you did in helping save this hockey franchise in Pittsburgh. If it's little or if it's a lot, we don't even need to know. Thank you.
But by the way, and that's a good point, and thank you. Mr. Basile wanted to buy Pittsburgh and move them.
Yes.
And Pittsburgh deserves the Penguins. I mean, that's where the Penguins belonged. And that's what we're all about in trying to make our franchises work. Anyway, sorry for that rant from the last question on to this one. What can I do for you?
Well, you know, my dad always said, you never know unless you ask. And Gary, first of all, I'm just a little disappointed on how the tickets were set up for the Classic when these games are going for $250 each or so on eBay or one of these tickets right now, because we Pittsburgh fans did not get a chance to get them the way I was expecting to get them. And I wanted to go, and I wanted to take my son, and I would just be happy to give out my number to one of the boys at XM. If there's a chance that I can purchase two from you, Gary, it'd be fantastic. But I just love to know the story. What happened about that?
Well, actually, what happened was we put 43,000 tickets out to public sale on Ticketmaster. A couple of thousand were actually sold in Pittsburgh. They all got sold in about 20
quickly.
Minutes.
Yes.
And I think we made another couple of thousand available. You have to remember, though, and this may seem too flippant answer, this is a Buffalo Sabres home game. And so the first thing we had to do was take care of this Buffalo Sabres season ticket holders, and then we had to take care of some of the suite holders at Ralph Wilson Stadium because we were borrowing the stadium for this purpose. My guess is somewhere between 2,500 and 4,000 tickets made it into the Pittsburgh market. Leave your number. We'll pick it up, and if we find an extra couple of seats, we'll see what we can do for you. That doesn't mean I'm opening this line to Ticketmaster, and we're going to be taking more calls for
board.
Tickets. But the first to ask, you nothing ventured, nothing lost.
The board is lighting
thanks
up.
Thanks for calling.
The board is lighting up.
Josh from Virginia, what can I do for you?
Sir, how are you doing, Mr. Clark?
I'm okay. How are you?
Pretty good. Happy to see that the coaching change in Washington has made somewhat of a difference.
I think the Caps are back in the hunt.
Yes, sir. The question is about refereeing. I'm not a new fan. I've only been around for about 8 or so years. But I'm a bit worried about the calls that they're making right in front of the net. It seems like that's a soft zone, and they're making calls like the NBA or the NFL where it's just cheap calls. And it seems, you know, watching games day to day, getting to go, and, you know, the great game against Pittsburgh and Philly the other night, the calls against the Capitals just seem to be way inconsistent. Like the fourth goal scored last night, there was a cross-check that the Rangers made, and it wasn't called, and then goaltender interference. I'm just worried that the Capitals seem to always get the short end of the stick when it comes to calls.
Well, you know, I think one of the great things about being a fan of our game is there's no shortage of passion when it comes to officiating. We monitor our officials every night. We strive for consistency. They have the toughest job of all the officials in all sports. They're skating around. The puck's moving at 100 miles an hour. And they've got a lot to do out there, and they've got a lot of non-calls to make as well as calls. For the most part, overwhelmingly, they get it right. We could go through each case. Sometimes, you know, there was a discussion that in the game the Caps had last weekend against Carolina, the video replay went against them, and then two nights ago it worked for them. The fact is, our goal is to get it right and get it right consistently, and I think by and large we do that.
All right, we're going to step out for a moment. We want all the callers to hang on for us. When we come back, we're going to chat with Rocky Wirtz, the chairman of the board of the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm Bill Clement. I'm spitting out the words today and not doing such a good job of it. Luckily, Gary Bettman is stitching the words together into sentences that make sense. And when we come back, we'll chat with Rocky Wirtz of the Chicago Blackhawks.
An in-depth look at the NHL. You're in the right place. This is NHL Hour on the Nation's Hockey Station, NHL Home Ice, XM204.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM204, as well as NHL.com. Here's the phone number again, 877-NHL on XM. That's 877-645-6696. Our email address, NHLHour at NHL.com. Bill Clement with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. We want to thank our callers for their patience in advance because we're going to spend a few minutes talking to a special guest, Gary.
It's our pleasure to welcome Rocky Wirtz, the new chairman of the board of the Chicago Blackhawks, to the show. Rocky, how are you?
Just fine, Gary. How are you?
Good. You know, it occurs to me that you and the Blackhawks have been in the Wirtz family for almost the same amount of time. What are your earliest memories of the Blackhawks when you were a young kid?
I remember going to the Blackhawks game when Jimmy Norris was still alive, and he and Dad would sit together, have an adult beverage, and solve every problem of the world after a win or loss. And I'd fall asleep on a couch, and then by the time I'd go to school the next day, I'd try to keep my eyes open. But I've been going to games since I've been 10 years of age.
Oh, that's great. And you're a native of Chicago like the rest of your family, right?
Absolutely. So right. Born and bred and went to school here, too.
That's great. How has it been on you personally being as visible as you've become as the chairman of the Blackhawks? Was it a big adjustment?
Well, it was nice being under the radar screen before. We have other businesses. We're in the wholesale wine, spirit, and beer business, and I concentrated on that even though I've been an alternate governor for the Blackhawks and would show up for their team picture. But after Dad's passing, but that was about as visible as I was with the team. So after Dad's passing, we've had a number of different press conferences and announcements, and so it has been, it's been a little overwhelming because it's something that I'm not used to. But whatever we have to do to promote the Blackhawks and the game of hockey in the Chicagoland area, we're certainly willing to do that.
Well, there seems to be a renewed buzz in Chicago with respect to the Blackhawks. Some of that has to do with the play on the ice, and some of that has to do with some changes that you made in rather quick order. You want to talk a little bit about hiring John McDonough as the new president and putting some games, home games, on television?
I'd be happy to. We put 11 home games on TV through our cable partner Comcast SportsNet in Chicago, and that surprised a lot of people because the team policy had not been to do that previously, and so we wanted to give the best game possible we could and have them all on high def and have enough roving reporters to make it an interesting experience, and that to show a little bit of what a fan would experience coming into the United Center and watching a Blackhawk game. And then we went out and hired John McDonough, who had previously been president of the Chicago Cubs. And John had been and grown up watching the Blackhawks when he's a young man, sitting in the second balcony of the old Chicago Stadium, or standing, I should say, in the old Chicago Stadium. So he's always watched the Hawks from afar. And so when the opportunity came to be able to hire John, he was the first one on our list, and we were lucky enough to be able to snare him to have him come over to the Blackhawks.
That's great. How many games do you anticipate doing next year of your home games on television?
Well, we'd like to do them all, and that's what we're talking about between cable and over the air. So we're talking to a number of different people, and we'd like to do them both home and away so that our fans could see the Hawks in all venues. But that remains to be seen, but we're optimistic we're going to have a lot, certainly a lot more home games than 11 next year.
You know, for fans who are listening, people who don't live there, talk about the meaning of sports in Chicago and the meaning of the Blackhawks to the city of Chicago as well.
Well, growing up, Bobby Hall was, and Stan Mikita, but especially Bobby Hall, was as big in Chicago as the younger sports fans might have known, you know, a basketball player, and that'd be Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan is obviously was very well known all over the world. Well, Bobby Hall, growing up in Chicago, was certainly a god, and hockey was just a premier indoor sports for winter. So what we've been lucky enough to do is have people talk about this when there's basketball and football and a number of other different occasions that could be going on. And so people in Chicagoland area are excited again. And if I've heard it from one, I've heard it from 100 fans saying, I used to come to the Hawks game, I used to do this and that, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you guys a second chance. And we're excited about the prospects going forward.
On a different note, I heard a story or somebody told me that you were named after the great fighter Rocky Marciano. Is that true?
Well, it depends. My dad would tell the story. At that time, our family was involved with international boxing and promoted every championship fight, regardless of the belt, from 1946 to 1959. And Rocky Marciano was one of those fighters under contract with international boxing. But so in the sports venue, Dad would tell the story, and that's how I got my name. But if my mother had heard it, she would say that's not true. She said, you were named after my middle name, which is Rockwell, which is my grandmother's maiden name. So it depends on the venue. Either a sports venue was named after a prize fighter. If my mother was around in a social setting, it was named after my grandmother on my mom's side.
Which story do you like?
Well, I like the boxing. At least as long as I'm not a flying squirrel, I'm fine.
No flying squirrels. Hey, listen, before I let you go, you know, obviously we all miss your dad, and there was nobody more passionate about the game and the league and the Blackhawks than he was. What was the most important piece of advice that he gave you growing up?
Well, it's something that he wanted the fans to have the best experience he could. And he said, you have to be passionate about the game. It's a great game, and you have to make sure that as much as you don't take anything out of it that you don't put into it, and to really make sure that you're always putting something back in and that the game is better at the end of your business career than it was at the beginning of the business career. And that's what he believed, and he believed that after the new collective bargaining agreement and how the league is going, that we're in very, very good hands, and that it'd be something we can be proud of for years to come.
Well, thank you for being with us. Wait, Bill Clement.
Rocky, it's Bill Clement. Thanks for being with us. How are you?
Happy. Nice to be with you, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I want to ask you a specific hockey question. I'm assuming you were involved in the decision to keep Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane on the roster. Was that a tough decision, keeping these two teenagers, seeing that they were considering that they were so young?
I don't think so after training camp. You don't want to put someone in to ruin their career. It's like taking someone in business and over-promoting them. But they were so poised, and they had such a good training camp, and they had such a good outlook that they really made the decision for the hockey folks. So it was not a hard decision after watching them in training camp.
Well, thanks for being with us. Good luck the rest of the way this season, and happy holidays.
Well, thank you. Happy holidays to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Rocky Wirtz, the chairman of the Chicago Blackhawks, and talk about a franchise that is on the rise again. And I guess a lot of people challenged or questioned the loyalty of Chicago Blackhawk fans, but it appears as if they've just been waiting for an opportunity to jump back on the Hawks bandwagon.
And it looks like they're doing it. Chicago, as Rocky said, is a great sports town, and it's a great hockey town. The Blackhawks are a legendary franchise, and it's clear they're on their way back.
Okay, we want to get to everybody's calls and emails, but first we're going to step out. When we return, Gary will, in fact, answer your questions and your emails, all on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice XM 204 and NHL.com. And this is the NHL Hour. We're live from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok in the heart of Manhattan. And you're listening to us either on NHL Home Ice XM 204 or NHL.com. Let me give you the phone numbers again. 877-NHL on XM. Love the bare naked ladies, don't you, Gary?
Actually, for those of you who were at the All-Star game in Minnesota, they did a concert outdoors in the snow that is one of the all-time great concerts I've ever been to. And their music's a lot of fun, and they're great hockey fans from the Toronto area.
Yeah, they are. Fantastic. Again, the phone number is 877-645-6696. The email address, nhlhour@nhl.com. Gary will answer your questions either by phone or email. We're going to go to the phones right now. Joe in Long Island. Have a question for Gary. Joe?
Hello?
Joe.
Yeah, you're with us, Joe. Go for it.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Suffering from a bad stretch with the Islanders, but...
Hang in there. There's always hope, and they're still in the hunt. Not to worry.
Yeah. Actually, I had two quick questions for you.
Sure.
One of them was, I heard that a possibility of the nets becoming smaller and the goalie equipment becoming smaller also. What's up with that?
I haven't heard anybody suggest making the nets smaller. There are a lot of people shooting at the nets who think they're too small already. The bigger issue is, and it's a matter of continuous debate, and it's something that we're going to continue to discuss with the players and with all the clubs, obviously, is goaltenders have gotten bigger over the last 20 years. I think the average goaltender is 20 pounds heavier and 3 inches taller, and the equipment has gotten lighter and bigger as well. And how much of the open net is exposed? Probably less now than in days gone by.
Well, they stay in it, too. The goalies stay in it as well.
And the style of play is different. It's something we're going to continue to study. Nobody's advocating switching to bigger nets right now. I think the bigger issue is, can we make the goaltenders smaller by reducing the size of their equipment? We don't want to jeopardize goaltender safety. We don't want them getting injured. Goaltenders, as we all know, are vital to a team's success. But we've got to see if we can get them smaller, keep them safe, and keep in mind that the equipment they wear isn't to protect the net from the puck. It's to keep the goaltenders from getting injured. But it's something we'll continue to look at, because we want there to be scoring chances. We want the shooters to be able to have some open net to look at so that they get off more shots.
How about height restriction? Anybody over 5'11 need not apply. Bad idea.
That's a bad idea.
Okay.
But, you know, I understand. We'll take the next call. Paul from Austin, Texas. You've been hanging in with us for over 35 minutes. I thank you, and I apologize.
Oh, not at all, Gary. I got to tell you, I've been a fan for 40 years, and I got to think, you know, back when I first watched the game, that a guy like Clarence Campbell never would have talked to fans like you are, so I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say, but I'm also a benefactor of new technology because I'm not so sure, you know, Clarence was a great man, but I'm not sure he would have had the opportunity to do this, and my guess is, had he had the opportunity, he probably would have.
Okay, well, I didn't know the guy. Anyway, there are two things. One is more of a comment, and the other is a question. Comment is I hope you guys will move heaven and earth to try to get hockey on HD as fast as you can. I think it is part of making the game really big time for the rest of the American market. You can see the puck, and I think that may be one of the biggest detriments to hockey not being a major, major sport like some of the others. That's the comment. The question is, I, as a big fan, I've got center ice online. Now you guys signed this deal with the NHL, or you put together the NHL Network. I'm one of the people. I don't have NHL Network with my cable system, Time Warner, Austin, Texas. So I've lost 50 games, and I got to tell you, that just really burns me up. And I don't know who puts these deals together, but I'm not happy about that. What can you guys do about it? I've tried calling the cable system to get NHL Network without much luck.
We currently have arrangements for distribution with 28 different cable providers or satellite providers, and you should be able to subscribe on Time Warner, at least on one of the sports tiers, to get it. Obviously, we would like the channel carried more widely, not unlike the discussion the NFL's having about trying to get broader distribution as well. But I think you need to call your cable provider, and if you can't get it, you need to tell them you want it, because the more fans that the cable operators hear from, the more likely they are to make a change. With respect to your first point on high-definition television, I couldn't agree with you more. Nothing is impacted more on television in the difference between conventional television and high definition than I believe our games. It's the clarity to see the puck, if that's what you want to see. It's this digital sound, and more importantly, it is the horizontal picture you get where you can see an entire zone, you can see plays develop, you can see all the players at one time. About 50% of our games, not 50% of our broadcasts, because most games have two broadcasts, but about 50% of our games last season were in high definition. That number is increasing as things continue. Rocky Wirtz was talking about showing the home games on high def out of the United Center in Chicago. HDNet carries our games. NBC, and their first game will be on New Year's Day for the Winter Classic. The outdoor game between Buffalo and Pittsburgh from Buffalo will certainly be in high def. We're heading in that direction, and I couldn't agree with you more that it is a great change for hockey on television. So thanks for hanging in there and calling. And we'll go to Nick on Long Island, 38 minutes. I'm sorry for the wait, but it's good to be with you.
Hey, the previous Long Island caller said it about the island is struggling. Really,
he sounded more depressed than you do.
Hey, he was probably out on air jitters or something like that. But you know what? They'll pull out.
They will. And there's a good core there. They've got a terrific young goaltender. We're having static. I don't know if that's you or us, but go ahead. Well, we lost you. That's why we were having static.
Islanders. That's all.
Well, try and call back with a better cell connection. I apologize you hung in all that time and you didn't get to ask your question. But we'll take Brian from Tennessee. You're on XM204.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to echo the person about the HD, but I also wanted to thank you for staying in with the market of Nashville. I'm one that drives my family 300 miles round trip for each Predator home game, and I just appreciate your patience with us.
Well, thank you. But that's the point I was making to the caller from Canada about we haven't abandoned places we're not yet. It's really not about not abandoning places where we are, places in like Tennessee that have great fans like you. Because frankly, if you pick up and move out of a place too easily, you're telling all your fans everywhere that you don't care. You drive 300 miles for a game, you're my hero. Do I have a question that I can answer for you?
Yes. HD has just made, as you were making a comment, making a revolution. What do you see on either long or short-term horizon as the next big technological advancement that's going to help our game to the sports masses?
Well, I think all of the new digital technology is going to help because you can get whatever information you want in real time. You can get it on virtually any device that you want it, your computer, your cell phone, your ability to get highlights from games, updates, alerts, to go back and look at historical footage. These are all things that you can do. Also, we have a centerized broadband package where you can get statistics and watch four games at the same time. So the ability of us to adapt and give our fans what they want is only going to be enhanced with all of the developments in digital technology.
Besides the technology, Gary, one of the things that I think is a huge breakthrough that has hockey ahead of most sports is access. I mean, in the last two and a half years, we've got people interviewing players during games and coaches during games, and to me that's unprecedented. I know as a kid, even as a consumer, as a fan now watching all sports, I want to know what this guy's like. I want to hear their voices during games, and I think the NHL provides that where others don't.
Well, I don't know in comparison to others, but the point you're making is right. We're providing more access, more intimacy to the game, to the players, to the coaches than ever before. And the digital technology lets us do that because we're now not confined to a 2.5-hour broadcast on conventional television. All of the content that we create from this access, in addition to making for more compelling broadcasts, is something that you can access on the internet by going to NHL.com and by going to the club websites. We have great content, and that's one of the reasons I'm so bullish about the future of our game. Let me read an email. Steve from Halifax, Nova Scotia writes, I'm wondering why you would prohibit NHL players from playing in the 2014 Olympics in Russia. Is there any way you'd reconsider and let the players play in the 2014 Olympics? It's a great question, but its premise is wrong. We haven't decided one way or the other whether or not we're going to the 2014 Olympics. I was asked in an interview a couple of weeks ago, what are we doing about 2014? And I said, we don't know. We haven't made a decision. We won't make a decision until after Vancouver in 2010. There are a lot of good reasons to go, and there are a lot of issues relating to go. And ultimately, this will be a joint decision that we make with the players as to what's best for the game to go or not to go. But nobody should think that we have made a decision one way or the other, because we haven't. Next caller, why don't we go to Mike from Long Island? He's been on for over 20 minutes holding. And Mike, what can we do for you? You're on XM.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Great.
Enjoying this lovely weather?
are you driving in it?
I've been driving for 2 hours and 18 minutes so far.
Well, keep your eyes on the road. It's slick out there. Thanks for calling in.
If it wasn't for this show, I wouldn't be driving anywhere, to be honest with you. Now, my question has to do, it's basically along the lines of officiating. You seem to be getting a lot of questions about them. I was wondering if you've ever considered possibly throwing in sort of like a challenge, sort of like they have in football, where if you don't believe the call is right, if you can challenge it to a video replay, if you win, you whatever happens gets undone, and if you don't win, yeah, you get the penalty plus two more or whatever.
You know, it's a great question. And we use replay, and I think all the other leagues point to the fact that we use it probably most efficiently, more efficiently than any of the other sports. It works very well for determining if there's a goal. The nature of our game, the speed with which it's played, all of the angles, the nonstop action make it a little difficult for us to be invoking replay. If you go back and you look at the calls that our officials make, they're right 99% of the time, both in their calls and their non-calls. I think invoking replay, other than how we use it for goals and non-goals, would probably disrupt the flow of the game and would be more of a detriment than a positive.
I can't agree more, and I don't believe that football or any other sport uses replay to decide penalties. They use for completed passes, yes, whether it's a touchdown. But at some point, where does that leave the officials on the ice when they're being questioned with replay anyway? By the way, as a player, played for 11 years, been broadcasting for 22 years, I've worked Olympics. I've seen officials from around the world by a country mile. We have easily the best officials in the entire universe doing hockey. And it will not get any better than it does in the NHL. And it's an inexact science. I think that's what most people have to realize. It is not a science. As a matter of fact, it isn't a science.
And that's the unbiased opinion of Bill Clement. That is not me just supporting my officials. Nick from Long Island, you're back.
Yes, I am back.
Okay, better connection this time. Okay, good. What's your question?
My question was, why, now that we have the shootout, do we still award single points, to people who lose in overtime and or shootouts?
You know, it's a good question, and it's been a matter of debate. The competition committee discussed this when we were coming back from the work stoppage as to what the right point mix was, and there are lots of good arguments. There was a fear that maybe we didn't want a shootout determining both points. There was a fear that if it was all or nothing, a team might clamp down and you'd see more defense in the last 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes of a game with a one or two goal lead. We're trying to make sure the game is as exciting, as entertaining, and as unpredictable as possible. And based on the discussions that I've had with players, they seem to think that the way we award the points now makes the most sense and keeps the game as wide open as possible and taking into account strategy and the desire to protect leads.
Gary, I want to take a second here to let everybody know that if you want to hear a replay of this show, you can just go to NHL.com to download the podcast. You can do that anytime after. Tomorrow, Greg, or do we do that? We can do that tomorrow or anytime after the show?
Tomorrow.
All right, tomorrow. And by the way, if I had a vote, I'd get rid of the point, too. That's just one man's opinion. But I would also entertain the notion of going 3v3 at some point in overtime so that hockey players playing hockey could decide the outcome before we even get to a shootout.
These are all reasonable suggestions. Based on the research we've been doing on fan opinions, I think it's somewhere between 70% and 80% of our fans are in favor of the shootout. They like it. They think it's been a good change. And so,
I love the shootout, too.
But not for the playoffs.
Not, No, not even close.
Not even. Just want to make sure there was
no
confusion there.
No.
Michael St. Louis, you've been on for 22 minutes, and I apologize. What can we do for you? You're on XM.
No problem, Gary. I had a question. Recently, they had been discussing the people on XM had been entertaining the idea of possibly doing a divisional playoffs for the first round of the playoffs to better establish rivalries, because most of the rivalries are established in the playoffs, and wanted to get your thoughts on that, and wanted to see what you thought, if you thought that the increase in the penalties causing suspensions might have any correlation to do with the instigator penalty. With there being an instigator penalty, maybe that's why the headshots and hits from behind and stuff are escalating.
You know, let me take the second question first on the instigator. The instigator's been around longer than I've been commissioner. I think it's been in effect for 16 or 17 years. It predates me. I think virtually all, 95% of the players who are playing in the league have played in the league without ever having had the instigator in effect. The sense that we get from talking to the players, and based on a survey that the Players Association did last summer, most players, at least at the time, didn't see a need to repeal the instigator. They think it's irrelevant, that you'll do what you have to do when you're on the ice, and even when there wasn't an instigator, the ability to pick up the extra 2 minutes was there anyway. I think it's more a question that occasionally you go through a stretch where you see things in the game you don't like. The headshots we decided we had had enough of, and that's why you're seeing greater suspensions in a short period of time. And hopefully Coley Campbell, with the suspensions that he's leveled, has made it clear that we're not going to tolerate it and we won't see any more of these incidents. Obviously, if they continue, we'll have to do more on supplemental discipline, but I don't think it's a function of the instigator. It may be a question of respect among the players, but the instigator doesn't teach you respect either. I think the players can police themselves and respect themselves, and when the instances when they don't, we have supplementary discipline. With respect to your first question on divisional playoffs, since the changeover to conference-based playoffs, we have had incredible regular season races. They've gone down to the last weekend of the season, and making the regular season every game as meaningful and as impactful as possible, we think has been great for the game. And while we continue to look at everything, consider everything, we think the mix we have now, coupled with the increase in interconference games that we're going to be doing for next season, we've got the right balance. And again, the feedback we're getting from our fans is that we're hitting this in the right direction.
Gary, we had Steve Wacheman here last week, and one question you asked him I was intrigued by: what's the most difficult part of his job? What is the most difficult part of your job?
Oh, boy. We only have 90 seconds left. I can't answer that.
I'm doing you a favor.
what I have to do day in and day out, I have a lot of decisions to make, most of which never see the light of day. With the vast constituencies that I deal with, the fans, the clubs, the owners, the media, you've got to just do the right thing. You can't play politics, you can't play favoritism, you can't guess the way the wind's blowing. You've got to learn the facts, understand what the issues are, and then do what you think is right, because that's what you've got to live with.
Constant learning curve? Are you there?
No, you're never there. Things drop out of the sky on you that you've never expected, and you can be in a circumstance where you said, gee, I've done this 20 times before, and then you get a curve at the last second, say, boy, I never imagined I'd see something like that.
One little variable changes everything. Boy, this hour has just disappeared. We want to thank everybody for being part of the NHL Hour. Hope we got to as many of your calls as you wanted us to. Coming up next, want to let everybody know on NHL Home Ice, it's In the Slot with Phil Esposito and Jim Taddy, and we'll be back next Thursday, that's December the 20th at 4 Eastern, to answer more of your calls and emails at least. That's it, and have a great week of hockey. Thanks for being with us, everybody.